There is much that I want for Christmas. I'm not the type of person that says I don't want anything for Christmas. There's a lot that I want. Now, I'm at an age and at a time in my life where I'm not in want for the newest fashion item or the newest gadget. I appreciate those things. But that's not really what I'm after. What I want for Christmas is I want our families to be able to come together and have some time together, and that there would be some peace and harmony in our families. I mean, that's my Christmas wish. I want peace on earth. I genuinely ask for peace on earth. I pray for peace almost every day, just that the wars would stop, that the fighting would stop, that the conflicts would stop, that in our communities that there would be more peace and harmony, and that the killings would stop. I want for the homeless to find homes and to have some semblance of security and warmth, and not feeling anxious, thinking that they have to spend another day outside or another day in their vehicle. There's a song that came out years ago. We've sung it here for Christmas Eve services, called Grown Up Christmas List. The chorus says, no more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts, and everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list. It's that last request, that love would never end, that really grabs my heart here in 2024. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, love is the theme, but in the kingdom of God, love is. It's the greatest. It's the foundation. It is the theme that overrides every theme in Scripture. Love. Such that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now faith, hope, and love abide these three, and the greatest of these is, say it with me, church, love. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is, say this with me, love. God's love was revealing among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. You see the cross section of Christ coming and the love of God. We would be here a long time if I shared all the scriptures that point to the love of God. What I want for Christmas more than anything is that we will receive God's gift of love in exchange for the garbage that we hold on to. God's gift of love in exchange for the messes that we get ourselves into, the entanglements we've created, the disorientation that we're experiencing, that we would exchange God's gift of love for our sinful ways. In the first century, the coming Messiah was eagerly anticipated as the moment when the oppressive government of Rome would be dealt with. There was a belief that the misery that Jews were experiencing would soon come to an end. A military leader, a king, a Messiah, the anointed one, would come in the image of David, who was one of Israel's greatest kings, and who could fight and who could lead this small nation Israel against these great big nations. They were looking for this Messiah to come and to kick Rome out so that they could reclaim their place of prominence in this world. Yet, the Messiah that was coming, while not being ignorant to the misery that they were experiencing with oppression, the promised Messiah was coming with a greater greater issue at hand, a greater agenda, if you will. The promised Messiah had a deeper and more impactful mission. The promised Messiah would make himself available to search hearts and heal hearts and bring a medicine for the sickness of sin. For some, this work of the Messiah would not produce the payoff they were looking for, but for all, it is the payoff we need. Listen to the author of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 5. The Hebrew writer writes, "Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'See, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'See, I have come to do your will.' He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." The letter to the Hebrews is an interesting book that lends itself to a significant discussion on various subject matters we may be pursuing and going through a sermon series next year through the book of Hebrews. We don't have time to go through all of Hebrews, but without going into great detail, know this. The theme basically of the book of Hebrews is this: Christ is better. Christ is supreme. Christ is first place. There are systems that have been in place, but they don't compare to Jesus Christ. Christ is a better option. Hebrew makes the case that all other systems, including the sacrificial system that was the way under God's covenant with Israel, it was insufficient in dealing with sins of people. And so when Christ came into the world, Christ came to do for us what could not be done thoroughly in the past. Christ came to bring us into complete and restored relationship with God. This is why the writer concludes his comments by saying, "We have been sanctified through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Leading up to the Christmas season and all of its festivities and celebrations, it isn't about a birthday as much as it is about celebrating the love of God. So much so that God sent his Son to be a remedy for the messiness of our sin problem. Whether sin is that act of open rebellion against God's way, or disobeying the rule of God, or the mistreatment of others, or simply, as the word communicates in its Greek origin, missing the mark. Christ came into the world to sanctify or to make clean all of us once and for all. And this is the highlight of the love of God. God offers us, in exchange for our insistence on living a sinful life, he offers us the gift of love. You might have heard this lesser known passage of scripture, John 3:16-17. I don't know if you've ever heard it, even though I read it earlier today. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Very important for us to know John 3:16 and John 3:17. The scripture has been quoted, requoted, put on billboards, put on signs, and taken to football and soccer stadiums all over the world. It is one of the first scriptures that we have our children memorize. Why? Because the truth is inescapable. God loves us so much that God is willing to deal with our sin problem by providing the ultimate sacrifice. God's love has been his way ever since the very beginning. You cannot read the Bible, you cannot read scripture without seeing that God is in this endless pursuit of us with his love. And so he creates this world out of a void, out of nothing. Why? Because of love. He maintains this world and keeps it going. And the sun rises and sets and the earth spins and revolves around the sun so that we get the necessary heat and light. Why? Because of love. And God invited humans. He invited us to work with him, creating us, to be partners with him in this creation. Why give us such a big and great responsibility? Because of love. And God invited humans time and time again as he made covenants with people. Why? Because of love. And even when humans messed up, God provided a way for them to be received, to be reconciled, to get back into good graces with him. Why? Because of love. And God, and while people rebelled, God kept restoring them and giving them ways to repent and change their ways. Why? Because of love. And God continues to this day to give people a space to return, to repent, and to receive his grace because of love. Christ's first coming and his impending second coming is a story of love in which we can come to the realization that Christ came and moved from what some people say from crib to cross. And why? Because of love. So this season, I pray that we might exchange our fondness for sin, exchange it for God's gift of love. I pray that this season that we might give to God our weakness, all of our weaknesses that lead to moral failures in exchange for God's love. I pray this season that we may release to God our hunger for what's wrong. I pray this season that we may surrender our pride and self-reliance in exchange for the humility that opens us up to God's love. I pray this season that we might let go of bitterness and grudges, exchanging them for the love that forgives, for love that heals. I pray that this season we might offer up our shame and guilt, trusting in the hope of the love of God that redeems and restores. I pray that this season that we might relinquish our fear of rejection and embrace the unconditional love that God offers freely. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to the grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Jumping down to verse 6. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For a good person, might be willing to give your life, but for the ungodly, for the sinner, this is how God proves his love for us. It makes a perfect opportunity for us to exchange our hunger and appetite, that which is wrong, for the gift of God's love. That is what Advent is about. That is what Christmas is about. That's what Easter is about. That's what Pentecost is about. That's what every day is about. God's love. God is eager to love us and to help us with our sin. We have appetites. We have cravings. Lead us down wrong paths, destructive paths. Some of us have been fortunate enough not to go down paths that's been deadly or that detrimental, but for some, it's literally been deadly. For some, it has broken up their families. For some, it has caused them to live in a misery that seems inescapable. But even if you find yourself in one of those things, you can exchange that for God's. That's the story of Christ coming. Since we will not be having a Christmas Eve service, which is typically traditionally the day that we would light the Christ candle, I want to do that in just a second. And by lighting of the Christ candle, I want our themes to be complete. Peace and joy and love, knowing that it is all found in Christ. Christ has come. God sent Jesus, his Son, so that we can exchange our fears for hope, so that we can exchange our chaos for peace, so that we can exchange our sorrows for joy. That we can exchange for the love, for his grace, for his mercy. Watch this video, light the Christ candle, or short.
Could have been a night just like this one. The air filled with anticipation. And that light, so bright in the night sky that it beckoned for shepherds and wise men to follow. Imagine to their surprise when they arrive and find a tiny baby laying in a manger, surrounded with nothing more than farm animals. How could this be their king? How could the Savior of the world be here in this place? And yet they were compelled. They bowed down right there and worshiped him. You see, they knew that something beyond comprehension had just transpired. The hope of all mankind has just shown up before them. That Jesus, although a baby, had come for you and for me. He came to give us a hope and a future. He came so that we might have joy and light. He came so that no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, all we have to do is call on his name and we would be saved. This is the story of Christmas. This is the story of the greatest gift ever given. The story of a king, the Savior of the world, born in a manger for you and for me.
Christ came to save us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. This morning you are invited to exchange your sin, your heartache, your misery, your confusion, your rebellion, your resistance, you're invited to exchange all of that for the love of God. So thus, we, in communion and harmony with generations, hundreds of generations before us, we come to worship King, the light of the world. God's Son came to rescue us from our sin. If during the singing of this next song we can be helpful to you, and you exchanging your sin for God's love, we want to be here for you. We want to minister to you. We want to receive your profession of faith into Jesus Christ. We would love to walk you up those stairs into the water that this week is warm, and we will baptize you into Jesus Christ, thus confirming your commitment to exchange sin for love. If there's any other way that we can help you during the singing of the song, come, let's stand, let's sing together.